Yesterday we talked about Lot separating from Avram Avinu. And because Lot separates, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram, Avram gets promises, he begins to acquire the land of Israel. But despite Lot wanting to go it on his own and be separate from Avram Avinu, he soon found himself in dire need of Avram's help. The fourth reading of Parshas Lech Lecha narrates the first global conflict, at least the first big war that we know of. Four kings came together with five kings, engaged with five kings, and the four kings defeat the five kings. And we have details of the battle, we have the geography spoken of. And in the end, the four kings, who are stronger than the five kings, and nobody's weak, this is a terrible battle here, they conquer the areas of Sodom, and they take the people and the possessions, all as booty. And not only do they take people and possessions, but in chapter 14, verse 12, the Torah emphasizes, "Vayikru es Lot ve'es ruchusho." They were sure to take into captivity Lot and all of his residuals. And the Torah identifies him as Ben Achi Avram, as the nephew of Avram. Vayelechu, and they left. Vahu Yoshev b'Sodom, and he is sitting there in Sodom. So this pasuk raises many question marks. First of all, if they took Kol Rechush Sodom, which says in verse 11, they took all the wealth and residuals, everything from Sodom, Be'eskol Ochla, all of their population, Vayelechu. So why would the Torah have to specify that they took Lot? Number one. Number two, why does the Torah have to tell us who Lot is? They took Lot and his rechush, and it says, Ben Achi Avram. He's the nephew of Avram. We know who Lot is. He's appeared on these pages before. Why do we have to mention specifically who Lot is and that they took all of his wealth? So the Malbim says, well, first of all, you should know that how did Lot get wealthy? Because he was with Avram, that's why. And why do we have to mention that he was Avram's nephew? Because this is the reason that they made sure to capture Lot. It was like they were looking for Lot. They didn't just take captives. Take captives, it's a wholesale, take captives. No. They were looking for Lot. Ben Achi Avram. The Ksava Kabbalah says they hated Avram, they hated his faith, they hated what he represented, and they wanted to shame and embarrass him by capturing his nephew and making an example of him. So Lot was headed for some very, very painful times. They were going to basically rip him apart. This is like, you know, they're going to show the whole world. You think Abraham is a god? You think Abraham is protected? You think that? Watch what we do to his nephew. And because of this, Avraham Avinu, of course, feels a certain amount of guilt almost. He feels like Avraham Avinu feels like Lot has been captured because of him. And there's truth to that to some degree. And why do we have to emphasize again, V'hu yeshev b'Sodom? In verse 11, it says that they captured everything in Sodom. Verse 10 says they captured Sodom. Verse 11 says they captured everything in Sodom and they took it away. And then it says they took Lot. And he's in Sodom. Well, he's not in Sodom anymore. He used to be in Sodom. Now he's in captivity. Why re-emphasize V'hu yeshev b'Sodom? So Rashi says the reason that here the verse makes hay of the fact that Lot was in Sodom by telling you that Vahu Yoshev Bezdom, he is in Sodom, is Mi Goram Loi Zeis. What caused all of this? All this tzaras that Lot is having. Lot says, oh, it's Avram's fault. It's because I'm Avram's nephew. No, says the Torah. You know Mi Goram Loi Zeis? You know what caused it? Yeshivase Bezdom. You went to live amongst the wicked, and the wicked invite wickedness. And so now you're in captivity. So that's the Vahu Yoshev Bezdom. Okay? Now you put some dramatic music in. What happens now? Right? Bum 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 bum. Vayavay HaPolit. The survivor comes. Vayagel Avram HaIvri. And he tells Avram the Hebrew. Vahu. And he, Shochein Be'elone Mamre. He's living in the plains of Mamre. Ha'emori. Achi Eshkel, the brother of Eshkel, Achi Einar, the brother of Einar, Veheim, and they are Bale Bris Avram. Another verse that is rife with suggestion. First of all, it says Vayava Hapalit Vayagid La Avram. Okay, the first four words I can swallow. Avram HaIvri? Now we decided to give Avram titles? We didn't hear about Avram HaIvri for the last few pages. Suddenly now the Torah has to tell us who Avram is, that he's Avram HaIvri? I know that's where, that was his last address. You know, you go to get a license and say, what was your last address? We know the last address. That was his first address, and so far his last address. Avraham Avinu was living in Elone Mamre. God said to him, I'm going to give this land to you and to your children. Now go and take possession. So he did. He moved in. He got himself an address. He was no longer a nomad, a Bedouin. Now he had a permanent home. So why does the Torah have to emphasize where he was? And this time, we don't just say Elone Mamre, we say Elone Mamre HaAmori. We never heard about him being an Amori before. And we're giving all the exact coordinates. He's Elone Mamre, but Mamre the Amori, who's the brother of Eshkol and the brother of Einar. Oh, and by the way, they are the Bali Bris Avram. They are the those who have a covenant with Avram. What's going on over here? So take it from the top. Vayavai HaPolit. The Polit comes. It doesn't say Vayavai Polit, a survivor came. A survivor could have been anybody. It doesn't say a survivor. It says Vayovei Hapolit. Hapolit with a hey in front, what we call in Hebrew hey hayidia. This is like a capital T-H-E, the survivor. What was this guy, the survivor? Was he the star of the survivor show? How do we know he's the survivor? How did he end up with that name? The battle just happened. So Rashi tells us, Lefi Pshuto, because if you follow the verses simply, we're not speaking about the survivor from the battle necessarily, but rather the survivor. Who is the survivor? The survivor refers to Ze Og. This is Og, the giant. Shepolat min ha-mochama. Yes, he survived from the battle of the four kings. But Vahu Shekoso, this is what's written later on, much later on. In the beginning of Deuteronomy, it says, Ki rak Og nishar miyeser rafayim. That Og was the sole survivor. So we say the survivor, yeah, it wasn't, there were not any other survivors. There was a survivor, a the survivor. The only one who was left from that battle, who escaped from that battle. Rashi says this is the way it's stated in Tanchuma, which is a medrash. And then, Ube medrash bereshis rabba, in the primary medrash, it says he is the survivor, but not the survivor of the battle, but rather Ze'og Shepolat Midorit HaMabul. He is the sole survivor of the generation of the great flood. That is to say, in Pshuto Shel Mikra, Rashi starts off saying, Lefi Pshuto, we talk about a battle. We talk about everybody falling in battle. We talk about captives being taken. And then the very next verse says, and the survivor. Okay, survivor of what? The Pashtos simply stated, this is a continuation. The verses speak about a battle and those who fell in battle, so the survivor is the survivor from battle. That's Og. Why would it be the survivor? Hapalit? Well, because nobody else survived. So when you have an event, a big event, and there's only one survivor, he will become the survivor. But Rashi says, not so much in a Pshuto, but nonetheless, still necessary for the literal meaning, we have to reach for another medrash. And the reason is simple. Lot would not be known as the survivor, Og, for a long time yet. Mm-hmm. How does everybody know that there's no other survivors? How do we know that there's one survivor yet? Sure, in Deuteronomy it shows up, it says, he is the only one who survived the battle. That makes sense. You know, the only way kind of I can understand Hapolit is by going forward five books. Here we are in the book of Genesis, jump forward to the book of Deuteronomy, and fast forward four centuries, and say, look at that, look at that. It turns out he was the survivor. But why is he called the survivor here? So therefore, Rashi says, I cannot remain only with the Medrash Tanchuma, I must also share with you the Medrash Rabbah, who says that this is a survivor who was already known, and already an established commodity. And how is that? Because he is the survivor of the Mabul. So now it makes sense that he's called the survivor. He was already called the survivor. And now the survivor, once again, claimed title to the survivor. He was the only survivor of the Mabul, save Noach and his family, and now he is the only survivor of that battle. You would say he has some mazel, eh? And Avraham, you know, defeats him anyway. So he is the only one left. V'zehu miyeser harefoyim. This is the meaning of what says later on in the book of Deuteronomy. From the remnants of the Raphaites, to the remnants of the Raphaites, Shenemar hanefilim hayu ba'aretz. This refers to which kind of defiant? This refers to the fearsome giants. Umiskaven sheyahareg Avraham. What did he want? This fearsome giant who has goyish hamazal, as they say. He always dodges the raindrops. He somehow always gets through the trouble. What did he want now, this big tzaddik? You know what he wanted? His intention was that Avraham Avinu should be killed in battle. Why did he want Avraham to die? What did he need a dead Avraham for? Well, he didn't really need a dead Avraham, but he was interested in Sarai. And the only way to get Sarai was to free up Sarai. So he figured, Avraham for sure feel guilty. I know Avraham's got a heart the size of a football field. Avraham will hear that Lot was taken away. He's not going to be able to just take that quietly. He's not going to be able to swallow that. He's going to go and say, oh, I must save him. And Lot thought to himself, Og thought, great. You go save Lot. Have a nice life. It ain't going to last very long because you have no idea what you're going up against. I know what this battle is. I'm the only survivor. We were five kings, five militaries, five armies, arrayed against four armies. They smote us, and this is Og, the giant, the fearsome, mighty warrior. And nobody was left but him. So he figured, I'm going to send Avraham Avinu into this fray. Soon there'll be no more Avraham. And then I'll get through to Sarah, and then I can marry her. So now we know the meaning of hapalit. And he comes with all the bad intentions and wrong reasons. And he tells Avraham ha'ivri. And why does the Torah here decide to call Avraham ha'ivri? Shabo me'ever ha'norah, she says, because he comes from the other side of the river. But really, the other side was Avraham's moxie. As the Medrash Rabbah says, Rabbi Yehuda says, you know what means Avraham ha'ivri? Avraham ha'ivri means kol ha'olam kulei me'ever echad. The whole world's on one side, and Avraham is me'ever hasheni. He's on the other side. So Avraham wasn't afraid to go up against the whole world. He wasn't afraid. He had the strength, he had the courage, and the tenacity to go up against impossible situations. And now we know why he's being called Avraham ha'ivri. And of course, Avraham had his own way, as the Medrash says. He's also called Avraham because he comes from Eiver Hanahar, the other side of the river, and he speaks Hebrew. Lashon Ivri. Avraham was known as the Hebrew speaker. Basically, the outsider, the stranger, the different one, the person who didn't go with the flow. And why is Mamre called Emori here? So the Rabbeinu Bechaya says, because this comes from Emori, comes from the terminology of Amira. Amira means to say. He is the one who had given advice to Avraham with regard to the bris milah later. He backed up Avraham with words. He didn't go to battle with Avraham, but he gave him moral support. So how did Avraham have the strength? I mean, okay, he's one guy, he's an Ivri, but still, well, he was in the area of Mamre or Amori, and Mamre lent him his moral support. He said, yeah, you should go. It's the right thing to do. So now we know that Avraham Avinu is an Ivri. He doesn't have fear to go up against the whole world or to engage with impossible situations. And he's got some moral support. They're Bali Bis Avram, they're the friends of Avram. So Avram's got people to watch, so to speak, the home front. He's got a National Guard in place. And Avram hears, and he sets off. Verse 14, Vayishma Avram. Avram hears, Ki Nishba Ochiv, that his brother has been taken captive. Vayorok Es Chanichov. He prepared his proteges. Yelidei Beisei, these are the ones who were born in his house. They knew nothing but Avraham. They grew up their whole life with Avraham. Shemona Asar, 18 Vishalosh Meis, 300. So 318. Vayirdef Ad Don. And he pursued the enemy until a place called Don. What is the meaning of Vayorak Es Chanichov? By the way, what does Bali Bris Avraham mean? Avraham doesn't have a Bris Mila yet. What does it mean in Pshuta Shel Mikra? So Rashi says, Shekar so imay bris. They made a covenant with Avram. They'd always be there for him. So Avram, be there for you. We're behind you. We back you up. We have the world of respect for you. Rashi brings down in the brackets, Svarim Acherim, Davar Acher, another thing, Hesiu Le'etza Alamila. They are the ones who gave him advice. Avram Avinu Hashem got a command from God. Bris Mila is 99. He turned around to his buddies. He said, you hear this? You know what God wants? They said, yeah, it's good. You listen to Hashem. It's worked for you. Kameshim Mefurish, Mokam Acher, as explained later on in Rashi. Rashi actually, in a few chapters now, is going to tell us that Avraham Avinu discussed the possibility of a bris milah with these people, and they backed him up. Of course, this is only the Svarim Achedim, because this doesn't take place till chapter 18, and now we're in chapter 14. So it makes much more sense to say simply that they were behind him. Vayarak. Avram hears, Vayarak yeschanichel. What does it mean, Vayarak? It says, Rashi ketargumai. Take a look in the Targum. The Targum says, Vizorez. Vizorez means he armed them. V'chein, similar. V'harikoisi acharechem chorev. This is a pasuk in the Techocha, and it says, I will unsheath my sword against you. Ezdayin, or I will arm myself against you. Ezdayin b'charbi aleichem. I will raise arms or unsheath arms against you. Or, orik charbi, we find later in Oz Yashin. What did the enemy of the Jewish people say? I will unsheath my sword. Because horek really means, or v'horek chanis uzger. This is, I'll arm myself. I'll come openly with weapons. The difference in concealed or open carrying. This is like carrying open, not concealed. Openly armed, ready for battle and conflict. Who is chanichov, says Rashi. Chanichoiksiv. It doesn't say chanichov. We read it, chanichov, his proteges. But it says chanichoi. And this is because it says Chanichoy and read Chanichov Zeh Eliezer. This is really Eliezer. Mm-hmm. He was the ultimate protege of Avram. Shechinchoy leMitzvahs. He educated him. He guided him in the performance of mitzvahs. Vahu lashon hascholas knesses Adam. This refers to the notion of inaugurating, or a person inaugurating into a position, or kli, or using a vessel, inaugurating a vessel or artifact into a certain use, l'umanus. Shehu asad la'amid ba, that he's going to use it. So if you're going to use a certain item for a particular reason, you start it off, you inaugurate it, you get it going, so to speak, and then afterwards you use it. So he was there, educated by Avram. He was set up by Avram to follow Avram. Chanoich l'nar, we have a similar example, Rashi says in the book of Mishle, where it says educate a child, or chanuka samazbeh. Chanoich l'nar refers to a person, educate a child, set him up for this new life of Yiddishkeit and morality that you're trying to share with him. Or if we talk about an item, talking about an artifact, we have the mizbeach, the altar in the Beis HaMikdash, which was inaugurated into use, and that was called chanuka samazbeh, the dedication of the mizbeach. Shmeino Asar, 18. Our rabbi said, and here Rashi continues his commentary from before, Eliezer levadehoya. It was actually really Eliezer. Well, if it's really Eliezer, why does it say 318? Here's the interesting thing. Eliezer is minyan gematria shoshmoy. The gematria of Eliezer is 318. Now, either way, what Avraham Avinu did here was basically mission impossible, because he set off with either 318 young men. Even if he arms them, you're going up against the mightiest armies, four armies that defeated five armies with 318 people. He may as well go single-handedly with Eliezer, all right? He may have. Or he may have gone with 318 and 319, and then may have slunk into the, 17 may have slunk into the background, and basically was Avram and Eliezer who led the charge. What happened? Well, we're not gonna have a chance to read the rest, but let me assure you that everything worked out well. And if we're here, clearly Avraham must have survived, and everything worked out. Here now is an interesting midrash about where did Avraham get the strength from. Please join me in the Biurim book, page Kuf Samachay, Simen Yud Beis. Here the Rebbe quotes a Bereishis Rabba on this verse. He says, "Who is Hapolit Vayaveh Hapolit Vayagid LaAvraham?" Says the midrash. Who Og? Who Polit? He's Og, he's Polit, same guy. V'lama nikra shmoy Og? And why is he called Og? Or why does the Torah record his name as Og? Obviously he had to be called Og before this event, but why? And Rashi says, if he's sometimes called Polit and sometimes called Og, why don't we just call him Polit? And the answer is, Shabo Matza es Avram Yeshev. He came and he found Avram busy. What was Avram busy with when Og found him? Mitzvahs. Yeah, that's a good guess, David. What kind of mitzvahs? Ugos mitzvahs. Uh-huh. What's an uga?
It's like a
feeding.
A cake?
Or a wafer? Yeah. Umatzas Avram yeshev ve'isek b'mitzvahs ugos. The mitzvah of cakes. or wafers? Namely, which mitzvah is that? Cakes or matzah? Omar, he said, took a look at Avram. He saw this old man baking matzah. He said, I have an idea. He said, Nishba ben achicha, your nephew, he's captured. You know why, huh? Because he's your nephew. And now they're going to make an example out of him. They're going to show everybody what happens to people of faith, even if you don't believe so much. But if you're connected to a man of faith, that's good enough for them. V'hu yaitzila mochama v'nerag. He thought to himself, I'll tell him your nephew's captured. Avram will never be able to live this down. He will go out. He'll declare war. And of course, he'll be killed. V'ani noitel es sara ishtay. And I will walk away with my trophy wife. So this is how he had it all planned out. And of course, this is the Bereishis Rabba that Rashi quotes, only in much shorter fashion. And Rashi leaves out the details of the Uga because, you know, on a pshuta shel mikra level, you call him Og because he found Avraham making matzah. So call Avraham Ma'uga then. Like, on a pshuta shel mikra doesn't really explain to us why his name is Og. But on a midrashic level, this is a very profound story. It's only after he saw Avram baking matzah that he said, Avram, baking matzah, let me tell him his nephew was captured. I know now that he will go, risk his life, and try to save his nephew. So the Rebbe says, Sarach Bir, this needs to be better elucidated. L'shema mitzayin ha-medrash, why does the medrash bother telling us? Shekisha og ba l'sapar zeis l'Avram, when Og came to tell the news to Avram, the Torah has told us what Avram was doing. Asak Avram b'mitzvah achilas matzah. Avram is busy eating matzah. What difference does that make? It's like irrelevant. And of course, Rashi doesn't talk about it because on a pshuta shel mikra level, it doesn't make a difference. So, and this is a teaching from one of the Rebbe's early manuscripts, only discovered posthumously after Gimel Thomas. So, in this early manuscript, the Rebbe suggested, V'yesh leimer, shebekach metaretz hamedrash she'ela nesefes. The Medrash here, by introducing this curious piece of information, answers a big question. What's the big question? What's the big question here? That Avram went and did what he went. It's Avram Avinu. The big question is, how did Lot gamble on the fact that Avram would go? This was mission impossible. He could not have succeeded. Madua Savar Oig, why did Oig think that Avram would be crazy enough to declare war on four mighty kings, four armies who just defeated five armies. Neged Arba Melachim Gibeirim, these four incredibly powerful armies. And that he would do this not for his own purposes, but Lahatzeloi to save his nephew, the nephew who had abandoned him and followed a life of dissolution and emptiness and vanity because he didn't want to be connected to Avram because he was tired. He said, I have no patience, not for Avram or for his God. I'm out of here. And, I mean, like, why did Og make that cheshbon? How did he come to that conclusion? How was he so certain? He said, I know. I'll tell Avram. I know he's going to get killed. That's not a question. But he'll go to his death, and then I can have Sarah. Dover sheyesh b'sikun gadol is something that has incredible danger. And he's certain that Avram's going to go, and he's equally certain Avram's going to get killed. A family, so he gets killed. Well, how will Avram be any better off if he's dead? So not only Lot is dead, Avram's dead too. How will Avram be any wiser? Maybe Avram should negotiate, send him a message, I'm ready to pay, declare war. Use diplomacy. But Avram knows who he's dealing with. And Avram relies on Hashem, but Og became such a big believer. So the Medrash answers the question by telling us that when Og came, Matz Avram Avinu Yeshev Eisik b'mitzvahs Ugas, he was involved with the mitzvah of cakes or wafers. In other words, Kishera Og Shavram Os Eisik b'mitzvahs Matzah. When Og saw that Avram Avinu was busy baking matzah, and matzah is Shehi Michlu b'mehemenusa. Matzah is called in the Zohar the bread of faith. He saw this exuded faith. He saw this. He knew this is faith. So he says, Emuna she'eni mugbelas b'chloli ha-seichel. This is faith that's transcendent of any kind of rhyme and reason and logic. It's a faith that's beyond. And he saw that he, Avram, had such faith. He could see it from the way Avram was eating that matzah. He said, if he has such faith, I mean, I don't have faith, Og said. I think he's crazy. I know he's going to get killed. But if he has such faith, His faith is so powerful, I'm sure he'll set forth in battle. Haven shebevada yifal Avram, gamba ifen sheni masam kol yasechol. Avram will do things that make no sense because he has faith. Great. Avram! Yeah. Oh, your nephew Lot. Let me tell you a little story. And of course, he knows v'yelech la'atzel aslait, he will go save Lot v'mesiras nefesh. And of course, that's exactly what happens. Only, Bogus' little plan goes wrong. Because not only Avram doesn't get killed, but Avram turns out to be fabulously successful, incredibly victorious, and Avram Avinu's fortunes rise in a far greater way than ever before as a result, which Og was never his intention. His intention was not to make Avram look better. His intention was to get rid of Avram. He had no particular fondness for Avram Avinu. And yet, it was Avram's faith that did carry the day, and Hashem's miracles that saved their father Avram, and we are what you call the living proof. That's all.